It's the first time you've been in a gospel preaching. We give you an extra special welcome tonight. We pray that the Lord will bless you in the preaching. I wonder if we could begin tonight by singing the hymn number 70. Hymn number 70. Jesus died for sinners. On the cross he bled to redeem from hell my guilty soul. Bearing all the wrath, in death he bowed his head, and his dying saves and makes me whole. Sinner, trust him, for he died for thee. Trust him now, and thou shalt pardoned be. Trust him for salvation. Trust without a doubt. None who come to him will he cast out. I wonder if we could sing another gospel hymn. Hymn number 181. 181. There is life in a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved, unto him who was nailed to the tree. O take with rejoicing from Jesus at once the life everlasting he gives, and know with assurance thou never canst die, says Jesus, the righteousness lives.
Now if you have a Bible with you, there are some scriptures, very well-known scriptures, I would like to read with you tonight. And the first one you'll find in the Gospel of John, John's Gospel, and chapter 1. Reading from verse 29. John 1, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, am I come baptizing with water. And John bear record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day after, John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He said unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. The Gospel of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, and chapter 27. Verse 22, Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. Further down the chapter. Verse 34, They gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink, and they crucified him. And parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. And sitting down, they watched him there. Another verse in John's Gospel, Matthew John's Gospel, and chapter 20, reading at verse 19, The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Down to verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciple therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord, and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me and thou hast believed, blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed. Another scripture in the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7. Reading at verse 54. But he, referring to Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And one final scripture in the book of Revelation, the first chapter of the book of Revelation. Reading at verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the kings, or first begotten of the dead, and of the prince of the kings of the earth, and to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. May the Lord bless these readings from the scriptures to us tonight. I have a very simple line of thought tonight in relation to this gospel meeting. And I want to speak tonight about looking upon Jesus. You know, since coming to the conference this weekend, during the Bible readings and the ministry, one has said to himself so often, how wonderful it is to belong to the Lord. How wonderful it is to know this person The Lord Jesus as my own personal Saviour. You know, my friends, coming here to this place brings many memories back to me. I suppose it's about 30 years since I first spoke in this village up in Dundee. And as I look round tonight, there are many faces that I used to remember seeing. And you know, they're gone now. They're in the glory. And tonight our desire for you is, if you're in this hall tonight and you're unsaved, we want you to get saved tonight. What a wonderful thing it is to know the Lord Jesus as your personal Saviour. Many of us here can testify to the day. Some of us can give a date. Many of us cannot. When we came to know the Lord first as our personal Saviour, and it was a wonderful experience. And I just wonder tonight, looking around the company like this, if there's any here. Perhaps your father and mother belong to the Lord. Perhaps your relatives that's brought you along here tonight, they belong to the Lord. And you don't know the Lord yet as your personal Saviour. My friend tonight, whether you're young or old, I want to tell you, you need Jesus. You need a Saviour. The day of grace is going on so quickly. The time is passing so rapidly. Years seem to fly apace. And my friend tonight, you've no guarantee about tomorrow. We only need to look round this northeast coast of Scotland to see the tragedies that have happened at sea, to see the distress and tragedy that's happened on the roads, to realise that you and I are here for a brief moment. The scripture says, in a moment, men die. And I tell you tonight, I would not like to die in your shoes tonight if you're an unconverted person. Young person here tonight, I want you to face up to the challenge. Are you safe tonight? Do you belong to the Lord tonight? Have you had the experience of your sins forgiven? I want to point you tonight to one who can do this tonight. You know, my friend, you might say to me, I was brought up in a Christian home. You might say, I've lived quite a good life. I want to tell you something tonight. It was one sin that put Adam out of the Garden of Eden. I want to tell you, it was one sin that stopped Moses, the great man of God, from entering into the land. And I want to tell you tonight, it's one sin that will keep you out of heaven. I want to point you to Jesus tonight. I want you to point you to one tonight who came here in grace and truth. I want to tell you tonight the wonderful story of the gospel. I don't make apologies for reading those scriptures over. I often repeat the words of the hymn, Jesus, keep me near the cross. I believe tonight it's vital that every gospel preacher keeps his message near the cross. Because without the cross, there's no salvation. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. If you're going to enter into those portals of glory, my dear friend, you're going there under the shelter of the precious blood of Christ. You know, John in his gospel, he's the one that takes record. He's the one that reminds us in the word that it was the blood that was shed upon the cross. We read his words in Revelation, unto him that loves us and has washed us from our sins in his own blood, unto him be the glory. Every saint here tonight says, unto him be the glory. That's how we're going, you know. We're going to glory. He's the leader of our salvation. He's the captain of our salvation. And he's been made perfect through sufferings. It was because he came into this scene of time and died upon a cross, shedding his precious blood, that you and I can be saved. And thank God tonight for everyone here who's saved and who knows it. And tonight, very briefly, I want to draw those thoughts around those scriptures. Five simple scriptures about looking at Jesus. You know, young people, especially the very young here, you know, there was a Christian went to the home of a believer, and there in front of the fire there lay a little girl with her Bible. And you know, the brother that was there, he says to her, "What are you reading?" "Oh," she says, "I'm not reading." Well, he says, "What are you doing?" She says, "I'm watching Jesus." Oh, my friend, tonight I do hope that from those simple scriptures, you're going to get a glimpse of Jesus. John chapter 1, looking upon Jesus as he walked. Looking upon him as he walked. You know, during this week, if you don't come to the meetings, I would ask you to come along this week, because we're considering something of the wonder of the fact that the one who was the eternal God, the one that could see from everlasting to everlasting, is God. The one who could see before Abraham was, "I am." That person came into manhood, became a man, in order that he might reveal God to man and all the wonder of what God, who God is. Isn't it wonderful tonight to think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die? I scarce could take it in. To think, my friend, that Jesus came into this world not only to lead a good life, he did this, but you know, to die upon a cross. Oh, the wonder of the grace and the love and the mercy of our God. And you know the scripture here, John, verse 29, he says, the next day, John sees Jesus coming and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." That's his person. My friend, tonight, there's no person like Jesus. You know the scriptures from beginning to end, they speak to us about the Lamb of God. Remember Abraham as he climbed that mountain. Remember how his son said to him, "Where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" He said, "My son, God shall provide himself a lamb." Here's the lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. The person of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he goes on to say, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." That's his work. The person and his work. And you know, we can never separate the person from the mighty work that he accomplished upon the cross. This is why he came. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we have the person. And then we have the person and his work. And then it says further down the chapter, and again the next day John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The attractiveness of the person. And so in this first chapter, we have the person, and then we have the person and his work, and then we have the person and his attractiveness. My friend, tonight, is your heart attracted to Jesus? It says there were two disciples there. They had followed John. They had listened to John. They thought John was a most wonderful man. And yet, when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God," it says, they followed Jesus. Oh, my friend, who are you following tonight? What a wonderful thing to come under the power and under the attraction of a person like the person of Jesus. My friend, there's nobody like Jesus, you know. You know, I was thinking today about Luke's gospel, thinking about that lovely picture when the Lord stood up in the temple, the synagogue. Remember how he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." My friend, tonight, if you don't know the Lord tonight, you're poor. Oh, you're poor tonight. You might have plenty in the pocket. You might have plenty in the bank. But you know, if you don't know the Lord, you're a pauper. Because to know the Lord is to know the one who is the unsearchable riches of Christ. To know the Lord is to know one who can say in the Old Testament, the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. My friend, you're poor. And then it says to heal the brokenhearted. Any broken hearts in here tonight? You know, my friend, sin is a terrible thing. Sin breaks people's hearts. Sin breaks up homes. Sin causes men and women to go down, 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 until there comes a moment when there's no return for them. Unless they come to know the Lord. My friend, is there a broken heart here tonight? He came to bind the brokenhearted. Recovery of sight to the blind. You say, I'm not blind. Why, I think you must be blind if you're not saved. Because, you know, if your eyes were open to see Jesus, you would be following him tonight. But instead, you have never seen the beauty of this most wonderful person, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Isaiah, so long ago in the Old Testament, he says, mine eyes have seen the King in his beauty. Oh, have you seen him in his beauty as he walked? What a wonderful pathway he had here, you know. Oh, the blind, the lame, the deaf, the widows, they all found comfort and blessing in Jesus. Looking upon Jesus as he walked, they followed him. And they said to him, Master, where do you stay? They were so attracted to him. Where do you stay, Master? He says, come and see. And it says they abode with him. Oh, I pray tonight, if there's any in this hall tonight and you're still unsaved, I pray tonight that the attractiveness of Jesus, that as you look upon Jesus, as we've read the scriptures and these scriptures all point you to the Saviour, that you might be attracted to him, and that you might be like those two disciples, that you might follow him. Secondly, we read from Matthew's Gospel, another Luke, a different scene. The Lord Jesus, you know, this is why he came to this world. He came here to die upon a cross. And it says in this chapter here, and sitting down, they watched him there. You know, my friend, I want to take you to the cross tonight. I want to tell you tonight, my friend, that there is only one way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open tonight and you may go in. Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. When you come to Jesus tonight. This scripture here, it says, Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. You know, my friend, what a terrible sight it was, the cross. And you know, there were so many people there at that time of the year. That day that the Lord Jesus died, there were so many there in Jerusalem. And you know, as we read through the scriptures and the accounts of the cross, we read about the attitudes of people towards him. It says that there were those that passed by and looked, and they had no effect upon them whatsoever. I wonder if you're like that tonight, my friend. Are you a passerby? Are you passing by the cross tonight? They passed by. It had no appeal to them at all. Oh, my friend, if you pass by the cross tonight, you'll land in a lost eternity. The cross is there, you know, like this. Stretched out, the Lord bars the way to a lost eternity tonight by his cross. And he wants everyone here tonight to come to know him. God willeth not in the death of any, but that all should come to him and live. My friend, as you look at that cross tonight, I don't want you to pass by that cross. And then it says of others, they stood afar off, and it says they smote their breasts. And then it says of the centurion, when he saw those things, he said, truly this was the Son of God. And there were those that sat at the cross and they gambled. They played dice. He gambled over the garment of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the attitudes, the feelings, the thoughts of the hearts of men that were exposed at the cross of Calvary. But you know, there was a little group of people there. And it says of them, they stood by the cross of Jesus. Oh, beneath the cross of Jesus, the hymn writer says, I fain would take my stand. Are you going to stand there tonight? There were the mother of Jesus. There were Mary. There were the disciple that Jesus loved. And they were there and they stood round that cross. What a scene it was. As I read down that scripture before coming to the meeting, many times before this, if you read over it, you'll read what they did to Jesus. You know, it's at the point where it breaks your heart down. It says, they took counsel against Jesus. They bound him. They led him. They delivered him. They betrayed him. It says, they stripped him. They put a reed in his hand. They mocked him. They crucified him. All concerning him. The heart of man is at enmity against God. And man wanted Jesus out of the way. Crucify him. We don't want this man. What's your attitude to the cross tonight? There were those that stood by Jesus. Oh, the darkness of that scene. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in when Christ, the great creator, died for man, the creature's sin. Jesus was there dying for your sin and for my sin. He had no sin of his own. The scripture says he knew no sin. The scripture says he did no sin. The scripture says in him was no sin at all. But my Savior, the Lord Jesus, the scripture says he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Oh, the love of the Savior. To bear my sin in his own body on the tree. My sins, oh, so great they were. And yet, he saw them, he knew them, and he bore them in those dark hours of judgment. My friend, have you ever looked at the cross? Have you ever sat down in the quietness of your home, or even in this gathering tonight, and take a look at the cross? We sang that lovely hymn tonight. There is life for a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved. Unto him who was nailed to the tree. You want to get saved tonight? You've got to look for you. You know, in the Old Scripture, in the Old Testament, I suppose one of the most clear scriptures in relation to this truth. When the people had rebelled against Moses, when God sent fiery serpents in judgment upon them, and the people were dying, God said to Moses, after he interceded for the people, God said to him, put a serpent of brass upon a pole, and it shall be that whosoever shall look shall live. You know, I can see that man of God as he held up that brazen serpent, as he would call out over the camp of Israel, look and live. You know, it didn't matter whether they were a little boy, it didn't matter whether they were a little girl, or whether they were a young person or an older person, if they had been bitten by the serpent, if they looked, the scripture says they lived. I want to tell you tonight simply that that scripture points us to the cross, to where Jesus died. And that's why he died upon the cross. He says, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me. This, he said, signifying what death should die. That's why Jesus died. He died for you upon the cross. Look to him tonight, my friend. He wants to be your Savior. He died for you. He died in order that you might never die. He died in order that you might never perish. He wants to give you life tonight. There's life in a look at Jesus tonight. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Thirdly, look at him in resurrection. I was encouraged tonight. One hesitated reading these verses, I must admit. But you know, I was encouraged tonight to read them because of some prayers in the prayer meeting. There were those in the prayer meeting tonight who prayed that if there was any in the hall tonight who had lost the joy of their salvation, or who, as the scripture terms, have backslidden, they prayed that there might be a message for them tonight. This word was lingering in my heart. And I feel tonight that I might be speaking to somebody here tonight. And you know, you've grown a little cold in heart towards the Saviour. You know, the scriptures we've read tonight, we've written here about a man who's termed as a doubter, doubting Thomas. It may be here tonight there are those who are doubting the salvation. You know, some of us, thank God, the moment that we believed in the Lord, we have never, ever doubted our salvation. Thank God for that. Jesus said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they'll never perish. That's enough for us. But you know, there are souls, and it may be in here tonight, there are souls who are like the waves. They're up and down. One day they rise and they feel good. They feel they're right. And then, perhaps during the day, they feel, well, maybe I'm not saved at all. I believe this word's for you tonight. Here we are considering a man who doubted the fact that the Lord was risen. And can you hear those words tonight of the disciples? As they come to Thomas, they had been gathered together. Jesus had come into their midst, and they had seen the Lord. Says then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. You know, we were glad this morning in here, we saw the Lord. And you know, they came and they said to Thomas, Thomas, we've seen the Lord, we've seen the Lord. Oh, I want to tell you, a sight of the risen Lord bids doubts forever cease. The very fact today that we can stand here and we can tell you tonight that the Lord is risen indeed. That the Lord Jesus, the one who went into death, he has come out triumphant from among the dead. And he lives today, a glorious man. Here in the scripture here, they said, the other disciple, they said, we've seen the Lord, Thomas, we've seen him. You see Thomas? He looks at them and he says, what? You've seen the Lord? I says, except I see the print of the nails, except I put my hand in his side, he says, I'll not believe. You know, there may be people like that here tonight. The world says, seeing's believing. My friend, we say tonight, faith is believing. Believing faith. You know, here's Thomas, he's gathered the next time, and the Lord comes. The Lord shows unto him his heart. Oh, the Lord, so gracious. He says, Thomas, he says, reach hither thy finger, put it in my hand. And Thomas, you know, is broken down in the presence of the Lord. He says, my Lord and my God. My friend tonight, do you have to get a fresh glimpse of Calvary? Have you to see tonight what Jesus has done for you? Have you to see tonight those hands that were wounded for me? Wounded for me. There on the cross, he was wounded for me. Gone my transgressions, and now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. Have you to see again? Have you to get a fresh glimpse again of the crucified Lord to bring you back again? Oh, that your heart might be warm tonight. My friend, you know, it's not long before the Lord's coming. Why, every time we come here, when we shake hands and we go away, we'll say, well, we may never meet again here. The Lord's coming. We're on the very threshold of the coming of the Lord again. You know, my friend, like the hymn writer in the old Sankey's song of redemption songs, we can say, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side. For his smile will be the first to welcome me. We're going to see the print of the nails again. My friend, before that time, he wants you back again. Come back tonight. He holds nothing against you. He wants you back into the fold tonight. He wants you back into the warmth of his love tonight. Thomas, he says, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. And he says, blessed are those who have never seen, yet have believed. Well, we've never seen it in actuality. But I tell you tonight, we believe it, and we enjoy it, and we enjoy his company and his presence. My day. So that's three of them. Firstly, look upon him as he walked. Secondly, looking upon him as he died. Thirdly, looking upon him in resurrection. I have read that scripture in Acts chapter 7. And now we want to turn your eyes heavenward tonight, my friend. And we want to point you to the glory. Because there's a man up there. Isn't that wonderful? Think of this tonight, my friend. The one that came into this earth to become a man. In order that you might know what it was to pass through a scene like this. In order to die upon the cross. To think that this person who is in glory tonight is still a man in glory. Isn't that wonderful? You know, the scripture says, as they saw him going up in Acts chapter 1. As they saw him going up, he was received up in glory. That was the verse we had before us yesterday. Received up in glory, believed on in this world, received up in glory. Thank God tonight, there's a man in the glory. You know, we wouldn't be here tonight if there wasn't. If there wasn't a man up there as our Savior, we wouldn't be here because we would have no gospel to preach. How often it's said about other religions that they can take you to the tombs of all the prophets and you can look down and you can say, that's where they are. But my friend, the Christian, looks up and we say, that's where he is. He's in glory tonight. And here we have the account of a man, Stephen. And it says he's a man that's full of the Holy Spirit. You know, my friend, I want to tell you something. Secret tonight. If you don't know the Lord and you trust the Lord as your Savior, the moment that you believe tonight, you'll get the same Spirit in your heart as what Stephen had. You know that? The scripture says, after that you believe, you were sealed with the Spirit of promise. Spirit of God. Spirit of God puts a seal upon you. Wouldn't you like to be a believer tonight? Young person tonight, wouldn't you like to belong to the Lord's people tonight? Lord puts a seal upon you, Spirit. Here's a man. He's full of the Spirit of God. He's just been preaching to those people that had so recently crucified the Savior. And they're pricked to the heart. Their consciences are affected. And it says they gnashed on him with their teeth. They can't. And Stephen here, it says, he's being stoned. And being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up. You know, the Holy Spirit makes you look up. The scripture says that when the Spirit came, he would not speak of himself, but he would speak about Christ and he would magnify Christ. That's the job for the Spirit today, to occupy your heart with Jesus. Oh, look tonight to the glory. Look, ye saints, this sight is glorious. See the man of sorrows now. From the fight return victorious. Every knee to him shall bow. We all say tonight, crown him. Crowns become the victor's crown. This man, he looks up. And what does he see? It says he saw the glory of God. What a wonderful thing. For eyes. Eyes to behold the glory of God. And it says he not only saw the glory of God, but he saw Jesus. And that's where Jesus is tonight. He's in the glory of God. Have you seen him, my friend? Have you had your eyes turned heavenwards? Oh, look upon Jesus, my friend. It'll change your life completely. Looking upon him in the glory will change your outlook completely in this world. This man here, it says, he bowed. As he was being stoned, it says he kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He says, lay not this sin to their charge. And it says, when he had said this, he fell asleep. Imagine that. Being stoned, the scripture says he fell asleep. My friend, you know, everybody that dies, every Christian that dies, they just fall asleep in Jesus. And they're going to be waking someday when Jesus comes. Oh, what are you looking tonight? What have you been looking for all your life? How old are you here tonight? 9? 19? 39? 49? 50? How old are you? Where have you been looking? Oh, my friend, I want you to look tonight. Then the final scripture that we read in the book of Revelation, we want to speak tonight about looking upon him in his coming again. You know the scripture here? It says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." In John's Gospel, it says, "They shall look upon him whom they have pierced." You know, my friend, you're going to see Jesus someday. The scripture says, "Every eye shall see him." There's coming a day, my friend, when you're going to see him. We want you to see him tonight as a Savior. If you refuse him as a Savior, you'll see him and you'll meet him as a judge. The scripture says, "Every eye shall see him." And this verse is divided up. Firstly, it says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds." You know, the cloud in scripture is a symbol of the presence of God. And you know, he's going to come again, and he's going to come to the clouds, and we're going to meet him in the air. What a wonderful day it will be. You know, that's what we're looking for. We look for the Savior, who shall change our bodies, our vile body, or our body of humiliation, and we're going to be transformed. He's going to be transformed like unto his own body of glory. What a wonderful thing. "And to them that look for him shall he appear a second time." Are you looking for him? It says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds." And then it says, "And every eye shall see him." You know, this scripture is taken from a verse in Zechariah. And it tells us there, you know, that there's going to be mourning. It says that there's going to be a great mourning. And it also says there that they're going to mourn for him as one mourneth for an only son. Then it says here, "And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Oh, what a terrible day it will be for those who are unsaved, for those who have never known him as their Savior and as their Lord. You have to see him in this way, as we have written it now. "Every eye shall see him, they also that pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." You know, my friend, if you spurn the offer of God's salvation, you must meet him in judgment. I want to fight close tonight by quoting to you a little verse from a hymn that's in the Evangelist hymn book. Very solemn verse. I want you to listen to the words. "What will you do in that great day, when heaven and earth shall flee away, when all the pomp and glory here, like morning dew, shall disappear, and you, from out your lonely tomb, shall stand in judgment's awful gloom?" My friend, come to the Savior tonight. "Look unto me and be ye saved," he says in the Old Testament. "Be ye saved, be ye come to